Hi guys, welcome to another episode of From a Girl's Girl. I had a really amazing weekend. I met my online support group members for the first time on Saturday. It was so amazing seeing everyone face to face. I'm so grateful for the support group and the members. The group has helped me grow in so many ways, and it's actually helping me become the best version of myself. To those who don't know, I have an anxious attachment support group. I talk about it on the self-sabotage episode, so you can go back to that episode just to catch up. Today we're talking about something called nagging, which is when someone gives you a compliment that's actually kind of an insult. It's meant to mess up your confidence just enough so that you start seeking their approval. Nagging comments leave you questioning a lot of things about yourself, such as your beauty, intelligence, and sometimes your personality. Nagging is mostly used in dating and is often mistaken as flirting. In the workplace, it's masked as constructive criticism or praise, and in friendships, it's masked as support. It's used by the other person to gain psychological control over you so that you constantly feel like you have to prove yourself to them. It sounds like teasing, but the goal is definitely not playful. It's to put you off balance. An example of someone nagging you can be them saying, "You're pretty smart for someone who's into fashion." When you hear this, you might think it's a genuine compliment, but it's a backhanded compliment. Nagging is popular in dating. For example, let's say you're on a date and your date says to you, "You're actually very smart. I didn't expect that when I first saw you." On the surface, this definitely sounds like a compliment, but the subtext is, you don't look smart, or people who look like you aren't usually intelligent. And this is an insult disguised as praise. This type of comment leaves you questioning whether you should feel flattered or offended. Another example of nagging in dating would be a man saying to you, "Oh, you're actually beautiful for a dark-skinned woman." And again, at first, this sounds like a compliment, but it's built on an insulting assumption that dark-skinned women aren't usually beautiful. A lot of men nag women in an attempt to position themselves as the prize. Sometimes they'll say things like, "Oh, you're not the type of woman I normally go for, but I'm going to give us a shot." When you hear this, you start to think that you're special to be chosen by him or that you're the one. And this is how you start seeing him as the prize. And honestly speaking, if someone comes up and says this to you, it gives you the impression that maybe you are the exception to the rule. And it's also reassuring hearing somebody say this about you. So naturally, you will want to prove yourself to them and seek their approval. It's just human nature. It's the same thing in the workplace, where nagging is often masked as praise or constructive criticism. But it actually carries an undercurrent of doubt about your competence. Let's say you've just given a presentation at work, and your colleague comes up to you and says, "Hey, great job in the meeting. I didn't expect you to pull that off so smoothly. You're usually more of the quiet type." When you hear this, you're going to think it's a compliment. But the more you think about the statement, you realize that, no man, this is not a statement, or it's not constructive criticism, or it's not praise. It's almost like this person is undermining your competence because of your personality. If you don't pick up that this is nagging and you mistake it for praise or some sort of, constructive criticism, you might end up changing the way you behave at work just to get praised or approved or just to be perceived a certain way by your co-workers. And ultimately, this is going to throw you off balance because you'll be acting out of character and it might actually affect your competence at work. It's really important to be mindful of nagging at work. Don't allow it to throw you off balance or change who you are. Remember, the whole point or aim of nagging is to plant a seed of doubt or insecurity, so don't fall for it. In friendships, nagging damages self-esteem. An example of nagging in a friendship is your friend saying, "You're really smart for someone who didn't attend a top university." At first, the comment seems like a compliment, but it contains a subtle insult, implying that your intelligence is surprising given your educational background. Or maybe you and your friend are going out and your friend says to you, "Oh wow, you're actually pulling that outfit off. I'd never have the confidence to wear that if I had your hips." This type of nagging comes across as girl talk. and it sounds supportive, but it's actually a backhanded compliment. A real friend won't compliment you and put you down at the same time. Nagging in friendships comes from insecure friends, competitive dynamics, or people who don't realize how damaging their words are. Some people are not aware of the impact of their words, and they're not aware that they're engaging in nagging. Others engage in nagging because it makes them feel superior or more powerful. It provides a sense of superiority by focusing on other people's flaws. It diverts attention from their own insecurities and shortcomings. Nagging can make the target feel insecure and more eager to please or gain approval. Societal expectations and assumptions contribute to nagging. People often make judgments based on background, appearance, and articulation. For instance, I know somebody highly articulate who attended a school with a questionable reputation. When other people discover where he attended high school, they are surprised by his eloquence and often say, "You're so well articulated for someone from XYZ secondary." This reaction is a result of preconceived notions about the school and its students, highlighting how assumptions can lead to nagging. I think we often make assumptions like this one without realizing it. The difference between us and those who voice these assumptions out loud is that we are aware of the potential impact of our words. Some people might say things out of malicious intent, while others might not consider the consequences. Tone and word choice are crucial when sharing our thoughts, as they can significantly influence how our message is received. Nagging thrives in places where power and confidence are being negotiated. It gives people a temporary sense of confidence. In social circles, nagging is used to impress others by either belittling someone's interests or by making snide remarks. And this is mostly done by people with low self-confidence. They engage in nagging to try elevate themselves by making others feel inferior. Nagging can also be learned behavior. People pick it up on social media or from their friends. People with poor social skills also engage in nagging. I mean, some people don't know how to flirt or how to give compliments because of their poor social skills. So sometimes they think they're flirting or they think that they're giving you a compliment, but they're actually nagging you, but they're not aware. So they're not nagging you because they're being malicious or anything like that. They just have poor social skills. Other people engage in nagging to avoid being vulnerable, especially people who have a strong desire for power. So instead of complimenting you by saying, "Oh, you're beautiful," or "You did a great job," they'll say something like, "You're beautiful, but I bet you already know that." They avoid giving straightforward compliments because they don't want you thinking you are better than them. It's really weird because why would you think you're better than someone who's complimenting you? As much as nagging leaves us confused and off balance, we can respond to the negative comments. The best way to respond is by being calm and assertive. If someone says to you, "You're cute for someone who doesn't usually dress up," your response to that can be something like, "That sounds like a compliment wrapped in an insult. I'm not interested in games." This response immediately shuts down manipulation and it shows maturity and awareness. And normally when you respond to a nagging comment or remark, people will say, "Oh no, I was just joking." Or they'll say, "Oh, you're so sensitive. I was just playing with you." Them saying you're sensitive is them dismissing your feelings. For the longest time, we've been taught to believe that being sensitive is not a good thing. That's why whenever someone says that we're being sensitive, we feel bad for being sensitive. And that's how people get away with saying the most outrageous things. If someone is trying to make you feel bad for being sensitive, you can respond by saying, "Yes, I am sensitive and I don't appreciate your jokes and comments." Saying this will definitely leave them unsettled and they won't try it again with you. You can also respond to nagging by being witty. So for example, if someone says to you, "You're actually smart for someone who looks like you," you can respond by saying, "Too bad you think that's a compliment." This type of response throws back the awkwardness to them. Being assertive and calling someone out when they give you backhanded compliments helps make your standards clear and it puts the responsibility on the other person to change their behavior. Now I'm thinking about a situation I found myself in last year. I think I was being nagged. So what happened was that I met this person, right? I met this guy, and after an hour of meeting him, he was already saying, "Oh no, let's be in a relationship. I like you." And I was like, "No, I want to get to know you first. I'm not just going to jump in a relationship with someone I just met an hour ago." He wasn't happy that I wanted to take my time to get to know him, so he started telling me about all the beautiful women he's dated. He was basically telling me that he has experience with dating beautiful women, and I'm not the first beautiful woman he's going to date or the first beautiful woman that he's pursuing. As he was telling me about his experience with beautiful women, he also said that he knows that they love money, so I shouldn't be worried about that too. And he also told me about his beautiful ex. He kept on saying how beautiful his ex is and how well she's doing for herself. So I was just like, oh, okay, why is this guy telling me about this? I think we spoke for a week. He was so pushy. He was literally pushing to be in a relationship, and he just didn't understand that I want to take things slow and get to know him. So we clashed, and that's why we stopped talking. I also didn't appreciate him telling me about all the beautiful women that he's dated, and I actually think that he's still in love with his ex. So now when I look back, him telling me about all the beautiful women that he has dated was a trap. He was trying to get me to a point where I let my guard down so I can let go of my standards and boundaries and jump into a relationship with him without getting to know him first. If I was naive and desperate, I would have fallen for his trap, which was him trying to make me feel insecure or inadequate by implying that I'm not special or unique because he has experience in dating a lot of beautiful women. If I fell for his trap, I was going to try to outshine the other beautiful woman from his past by constantly performing and auditioning for his compliments and praise. I was also going to investigate the ex. I was going to find out who she is, stalk her, and then try to be like her or try to be better than her. The whole situation was just going to be messed up. It was going to be a mess, and I was probably going to find myself back in therapy. So thank God I'm not naive and desperate anymore. Thank God. This is one of those situations where I can say my boundaries and standards saved me. I recently found out through one of the ladies I gym with that this guy is actually abusive. So I dodged a bullet, thanks to my standards and boundaries, and thanks to me wanting to take things slow. This just goes to show how important it is to stick to our boundaries and standards, no matter how we want to be loved or how badly we want to be in a relationship and want to be loved. This is why boundaries and standards are important. They protect you from a lot of unnecessary drama and crazy dating experiences. Recognizing nagging behavior is challenging because most of the time after it happens, you're just sitting there confused, wondering, okay, what did this person say? Is this a compliment or what's going on? But the common signs of nagging are backhanded compliments, comments that seem flattering but have a subtle insult or criticism, comparisons, comparing you to others, often in a way that makes you feel inferior or insecure. This is what that guy was trying to do to me. He was comparing me to his other beautiful girlfriends, exes, or whatever. Another sign of nagging is someone focusing on your flaws. This is someone pointing out your flaws or imperfections while pretending to offer constructive feedback. This is common in the workplace. Another sign of nagging is insincere flattering, which is over-the-top praise that feels insincere or manipulative. And lastly, criticism disguised as advice. This is also common in the workplace. People in the workplace often say they're giving advice, but they're actually criticizing you. And I think the easiest way to tell whether you're being nagged is if you start to feel insecure, self-conscious, or uncertain about your worth or abilities. After someone says something about your work or about you or your personality, you know, if you start feeling insecure or feeling self-conscious or uncertain about your work or abilities, then you're probably being nagged. Nagging is not something new. It's something that's always been around and something that people have always been doing. It's always been happening in friendships, relationships, and in the workplace. I think we just didn't know that it's called nagging, and we also didn't know how to recognize it and how to respond to it. Now that we know about it and we know how to recognize it, we're in a better position to protect ourselves from being confused by it or thrown off balance by it. I really hope you learned something from this episode. Anyway, the podcast is turning one on the 17th. I am so excited and so happy. And I'm thankful to each and every one of you. Thank you so much for supporting and listening to the podcast. I love you guys so much. Bye for now.